This week on Three Sides of the Coin, we discuss an email that was literally sent to us today as we recorded, and it kind of, I wouldn't say it triggered us, it just gave us something to comment and observe on. Why are people the way they are when it comes to critiquing other people's musical tastes? Let's put it that way. We've all lived it. We've either been the person attacking somebody's musical taste, or we've had our musical taste attacked by somebody else. We talk about that today.
Visit threesidesofthecoin.com. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow and rate us on Spotify. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. We appreciate your support. Are you looking for official Three Sides of the Coin merchandise? T-shirts, hoodies, and more? Visit shop3sidesofthecoin.com. We ship worldwide.
Hey, Three Sides of the Coin. Sorry, I'm back. If you want to hit the stop button right now, do it. It's just me and Tommy,
He crushed
which
my dreams.
you know that means I'll be doing all the talking and Tommy is just going to put his feet up, right?
You crushed my dreams. I had it set up. I thought it sounded great. Tommy Summers presents Three Sides of the Coin. It was going to be awesome. And now here you are,
Yep.
messing things up
Came
again.
back and stole the show back, that asshole that I am.
But Mark is still gone, so I get to speak a little bit today.
Yeah, Mark is, I don't know, was he in Florida? I don't, the world traveler that he is, out seeking crab legs. He's flying back today, so he wasn't going to be able to join us, and I can hear the applause right now.
It was more like
And don't tell Mark this, but the applause is from Tommy and I too, because Tommy's, as he said, Tommy can talk, and I don't have to stress out about getting Mark connected to Zoom and the internet.
for those of you that don't know, I mean, I know most of what we do and say is nothing more than a big joke, but we're not kidding. It has been brutal trying to get this man online. It's unbelievable how, like, Fred Flintstone would be more tech savvy than Mark.
Yes, exactly. And I don't know, was it like a couple weeks ago when I was like, you know what, Mark just isn't joining us because we spent the last 45 minutes trying to talk him through how to get online. And I just knew after 45 minutes of that, he was going to be Mr. Grumpy Pants if he got online. So
Oh
it's like,
gosh, yes.
don't bother coming on. Don't
Mr.
stress
Krabby
out.
Pants.
Just go have some meatloaf and sit
Watch some
back and
hockey.
read your book and watch some hockey and chill out. So it's not a bit, people. It's true. It
Yeah,
is
it's
true.
brutal.
So just the two of us this week. And honestly, I don't know where we're gonna go with this episode, other than I wanna start with reading a listener email that was sent to us. And I'll read it and then I'll explain why I felt like it's something to talk about. So again, this was sent to us through the contact form on the threesidesofthecoin.com website. And I'm not gonna read the person's name because I mean they love the show and they listen to the show. It's just this comment was just like I don't know. Here, I'll just start. Hi, guys. I'm from Australia. Greetings from down under. Okay, enough with the pleasantries. I was there at VFL Park, Melbourne, 1980, which very cool. Amazing concert for a teenager. And yes, it was total hysteria. I can only imagine. You know, I think a few episodes ago, I talked about that would have been a Kiss moment that I would have loved to have been able
We
to
all said, yeah.
take part in is just to be in Australia during Kisteria, just to experience that. Just listening to Ace's Trouble Walking album. Whoever sang on Hide Your Heart should be shot. Fucking dreadful. Okay. Quick side. I mean, I think, let's see, Kiss did Hide Your Heart, Ace did Hide Your Heart, Bonnie Tyler did Hide Your Heart, Molly Hatchet did Hide Your Heart. There were like, and maybe there's more.
It's got to
There were
be more.
like there were like four versions of Hide Your Heart that came out within about a 12-month period. And I was just like, why? why? I mean, I get why Kiss did it or Paul Stanley did it. It's like shop the song around. If somebody else wants to record it, you make some money off of it. You're the songwriter. You make a little change off of it. Good for them. But to me, now granted, the Bonnie Tyler version was the first one to get released because her album came out before Hot in the Shade, just before. But it's still a Kiss tune. And I'm sorry, it'll always be a Kiss tune, and that'll be the best version of it for me. I care less about Ace's version. So, you know, whether it's dreadful vocals or not, I don't know. And I guess back by that time, Trouble Walking, wasn't Ace singing all of the leads at that time?
Yeah, he's singing that.
So there you go. I mean, you know, whoever sang Hide Your Heart Should Be Shot. Well, that was Ace Frehley.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had the opinion Ace Frehley's not a great lead vocalist. Just not. He continues on, which brings me to Ace's 10,000 Volt album. Do you guys do crack? You must, because you glowed over this album. The songs, except for 10,000 Volts, are so bad. No, really, really fucking bad. I can't believe it got released. Listen, really listen to the vocals on Cherry, whatever it's called. My cat sings better. I take it, sadly, Ace is brain dead, yeah? He sounds it. Seriously, guys, you lost me when you dribbled shit about how good the album is. I listened to two whole songs, then did the next fast forward. I loved Ace, but he's fried. Oh, and I've seen him live in Melbourne too, about 10 years ago. Cheers, and keep flying the Kiss flag, even though it's all finished, brothers. So, why I felt like I wanted to read this and talk about it is, and we've kind of mentioned this in passing times before, and a little back, just a quick backstory. So I watch a lot of tech videos on YouTube, review, you know, there's some big tech. Well, there's Marcus Brownlee is a huge tech reviewer.
And what does he do?
Anything tech. Everything from automobiles to new cell phones to anything that's tech.
He keeps you up to date on everything that's going on.
Yeah. You know, he's got a great personality. You know, I'm not watching his reviews because I'm buying the product. I just enjoy his commentary.
It's interesting.
And he's interesting. And I feel like from the moment I started watching him, he's always honest in his review and his opinion. And just this week, and I don't want to really go deep into this, there's this new tech product that was released called the Humane AI. It's basically like a little pin. It's got a magnet, and you put it on your shirt, and it acts like you don't even need a cell phone. It can make connect to the internet and answer questions for you. It's kind of like an AI device that's always there. And his review ended with, "This is probably the worst product I've ever reviewed." And then he started to get a lot of heat from people like, "Well, you know, you've got a responsibility. You could drive that company out of business because of such poor reviews." And then he had to do a follow-up where he's just like, "Listen, does a bad review or a bad product put a company out of business?" And the end result was, it's a bad product. If the review is honest, it is what it is. And he said, look, there's a lot of other reviewers out there who basically have the same sort of conclusion about this product as I do, which comes back to this. It's like we on three sides of the coin, when we do reviews or any sort of stuff like that, it is nothing but our 2, 3, 4, depends on who's with us, personal opinions. That's it. We are completely, and we've always been completely honest that these are our opinions. And even within our own group, a la 10,000 Volts, our opinions can vary. I mean, Mark wasn't gushing over 10,000 Volts at all. He
I don't
didn't
think any
tell
of
me.
us were. We were honest, and I was going to say too, in thinking about it, Mark did a more thorough, review of an album than almost anyone I've ever seen. He walked through why he feels the way he feels, but it's not bad.
So even amongst all of us, we're not all gushing. Now, maybe I came across as gushing because it honestly surprised the hell out of me that I did like this album so much. Because if you've been listening to us for years, you know how I reviewed past Ace Frehley albums. Basically just, okay. Thumbs up, Ace. Good job. You're still recording music. I applaud that. I support you, but I'm never listening to the album again. And I truly thought I was going into 10,000 Volts the same way. It was just going to be another one of those types of reviews. And I honestly was completely floored and surprised that I like this. So does that mean I was gushing over it? I like it. I mean, that's what it came down to. I like the album. But why, in this case, with this specific listener, and we encounter this all the time on our social medias as well, why are people so insistent on caring what somebody else's opinion is on something, and that we have to be wrong about our opinion and they have to be right about their opinion?
That's the world
Can't
we live in.
all these opinions coexist together?
No, they can't, because that's what's I can't say in the world, but that's what's dividing us right now as a country. There's no give or take, there's no open discussion of thought. It's like either you're on this side of the fence or you're on this side of the fence, and if you're on the opposite sides, there's just no conversation. So that's how bad it's gotten, down to just for a record or a
I mean,
magazine or a book or whatever.
and this has always existed in the music world,
Oh, yeah.
especially when you get into discussions with people who claim to be musicians, and then they offer their opinion on music, and it ends with, "Well, I know what's good because I'm a guitar player, or I'm a lead singer, or I'm in a band." It's like, no, you don't.
No.
The fact. Here's the only fact that might be conveyed in this episode of opinions and commentary. The fact is, there is nobody who has any expertise in saying what's good or bad when it comes to music. Because if that existed, that person would be a billionaire beyond all dreams. Every musician would go to that one person and say, I need you to tell me how to make the perfect song, album, whatever it might be, so I become rich and famous. And this person will go, I know exactly what it takes. I have the insight. Here's what you do. Pay me $100 million and you will become rich. That does not exist. Music is 100% personal taste. Each and every person.
And personal taste means your personal viewpoint. You don't have to be a guitar player or a drummer or write music to tell someone whether you like something or not. You
It's
just don't have to.
how those notes impact your ears is basically the way I always look at it. It's like I did an article. A guest on an article a couple weeks ago about terrible songs on great albums. I think it was something along those lines. And I basically was like, okay, here's some terrible Kiss songs on some great albums. I Still Love You. Now, this is my opinion, people. Absolutely horrendous song. It is like nails on a chalkboard to me when I hear I Still Love You.
And I love it.
And that's great. And I said
Exactly.
a million to one, same way to me.
Fantastic song.
Within, same way to me.
Yeah,
Burn,
totally.
Bitch, Burn, same way to me. And of course, people came out like, oh my God, those are the most heartfelt, meaningful, beautiful songs. And I'm like, that's great. But to me, they are absolute, I mean, figuratively, they are painful for me to listen to. Why? I don't know. They don't sound good to me. They don't flow good to me.
It's they don't like connect walking, with you, whatever.
It's like walking through mud. It's just like sludging along. It doesn't work. And nobody can give me any reason. You could give me a million reasons, and none of it's going to change how it sounds to me. So there is no right or wrong when it comes to music. There are, now, what I would love to add to this is, you know, this is really fucking bad. I can't believe it got released. Okay, well, that has a tone of, do you have experience with releasing music, promoting music, marketing music? Are you a, have you, do you have anything to back up that statement other than I just don't like it? And why I say that is like, well, you know, maybe if you've released, if you were Irving Azoff or some of these other incredibly huge music industry executives have touched a lot of music over their decades in the career, they might have a little bit more say in going, no, that's not good enough to be released. If you were John Kalogner, you've got, again, it still is his personal taste versus everybody's, but he does have some experience behind him to show what he can and cannot do.
And he has a formula.
It might not even be a formula. It just might be his gut telling him this. And he trusts his gut, but he's been proven right more times than he's been proven wrong in doing this stuff. So, you know, to this writer, you know, if you say this shouldn't have been released, have you shelved albums before that have proven to be bombs? Have you released albums that have proven to be successful? I would venture to say the answer is absolutely not.
But you got to give him one credit for one thing. He's very passionate on the subject.
Oh, no, he's very passionate. And seriously, guys, you lost me when you dribbled shit about how good the album is. Why? Why does R, or maybe in this specific case, me, because again, you are very, didn't matter to you one way or another with 10,000 volts. And Mark, Mark was definitely not gushing with it. He was just, there's some good moments, but there's some stuff that I just don't really get either. I was the one who was just like, look, some of this stuff I think could have been better, but damn, I'm listening to it. And listen, I don't know how many weeks it's been out now or a couple months it's been out. I'm still listening to the album. And to me, that is all I look at to determine if that album is good and I like it. Am I still listening to it? Have I gone beyond one listen, two listens? And are we 2 months later and I go, you know what? I feel like listening to that whole album again. And I hit play. I just did it this morning.
Yeah. And I never take someone's opinion or review on a record and to decide whether I'm going to purchase it or not. I'm always looking for new music. So if I meet someone that listens to the show who already is a Kiss fan, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to like some of the same things I like. So I want to hear, okay, I love this record, I love that record. But ultimately, you're still going to judge it for yourself. And I've never really understood the other side of it either, where, like you were mentioning, you have an obligation. You know, it's like, no, we don't. We don't have an obligation to do anything but to tell you the truth. That's the one obligation I have, is to tell you my truth. Whether you agree with me or not, or you agree with Michael, doesn't matter. But we're just going to give you honest opinion. I like the record. I thought it was great. Is it Trouble Walking? No. Trouble Walking is my absolute favorite Ace Frehley solo record. So it doesn't matter what he releases. Good luck making it better than that, because that's my favorite. So that's a big hill to climb.
Yeah. Why do you have to, in this specific case, but I've seen it in other cases, when somebody so deeply and passionately disagrees with something, not only do you convey you don't like this, But then you have to start personally either attacking the other person, or in this case, well, he did. He attacked us. He's like, are you guys on crack? The hell does that have to do with this? And then he starts attacking Ace. Ace, you know, what did he say here? Ace is fried. You know, my cat sings better. Ace is brain dead. Dude, seriously. How about trying to write a respectful and mature review rather than throwing in garbage like that? Because when I see stuff like that in any review, I immediately discredit the entire person. It's like, if all you can do is say Ace Frehley or artist XYZ is brain dead and, you know, they're fried, and it's like, dude, you've got no credibility. You've lost any ounce of credibility of your own opinion when you start just going into personal attacks. And listen, the second you attack me for my taste, you're completely discredited. Am I on crack? No, I'm not on crack. I like what I like. You know, we've had this discussion. It's always been a running joke how much I love Crazy Nights. It's not a bit, people.
No, he loves it.
It is like
his favorite records.
Easily in the top three or five, depending on my mood of the day, his albums ever recorded. I can go back and listen to that anytime, and it just sounds freaking great. Every song on that album, Crazy Nights, sounds great. And, you know, in what, the almost 40 years since that was released? What are we at? About 35 years now? 37?
Yeah.
I don't know. More people have tried to attack me and give me what they think are facts to prove me wrong. And it's like, why? Why is that so important to you to have
I almost think
somebody
maybe
else's opinion change to agree with you? Why can't you just accept the fact? But you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. I'm not asking anybody to like Crazy Nights. If you hate it, I got absolutely no problem with that. Why do you have to have an issue with somebody who likes something you don't like?
I almost wonder if a part of it is either a validation thing or quite possibly a situation where they want to be heard and they feel like they're going to be heard because of it.
I mean, that could be, but again, if you want to be heard, there's ways to do that. An email like this or a review where, again, you attack the other person or you attack the musical artist, you've lost your ability to be heard, at least for me. I mean, I'm only speaking for myself. Tommy speaks for himself. Everybody's got a different view on how they do this. But when somebody is like, you're just brain dead, you've got wax in your ears because you like that, it's like, dude, conversation's over. You're muted, Tommy. Oh, Tommy's on the phone right now. So it just, you know, if you want to be heard, that's great. We all want to be heard. But why do you, and in this case, I've never spoken to this person before. First conversation is asking, do we do crack? You must be. Ace is brain dead. Ace is fried. You lost me when you dribbled shit. My cat sings better. As a first communication, you're not going to get yourself heard. And in this case, you're going to become the example of why this was the wrong way to approach it. Again, everybody's got a personal opinion about music, and that's great. And nobody has more expertise than anybody else. You might have expertise about how to record, to write a song, to play a song, but that doesn't lend anything to the ability to make a song that people like. We could spend show after show going over songs where It was the stupidest lyrics, the worst guitar playing, the worst production, and yet people love the song. Doesn't explain anything. You can have the best producer, the best studio. I always laugh when people are like, "Oh my God, I'm going to go record my album at Abbey Road where the Beatles recorded." Do you really think you're going to record a Beatles quality album because you're at Abbey Road using the same mixing board they used? That had nothing to do with the quality of the Beatles songs. The Beatles songs were because the people who wrote them.
Go ahead, keep going.
No, so it's like there is nothing that makes any person better or more knowledgeable what's right or wrong, good or bad when it comes to music. And we just have to accept the fact that people are going to like different things. Listen, I hate chocolate ice cream. Absolutely hate chocolate ice cream. Detest it. You put it in front of me, I'd just rather not eat it. I'll let it melt and throw it down the drain.
That's a good question. What could we put in front of Mark that he would refuse to eat?
Cottage cheese. We learned that.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
There you go. And you know what? I love cottage cheese.
Me too.
I'll eat cottage, sprinkle a little pepper on it. I love cottage cheese.
So what are we going to take them?
The chunkier the better, in my opinion.
Right. So we need to take them somewhere that's all they do is sell gourmet cottage
You got
cheese.
to find a cottage cheese restaurant.
Right. But to your point, though, I pulled a couple of records because I wanted to say that, to kind of follow up with what you're saying. So here is Loggins and Messina sitting in. This was released in probably 1971. This takes me back to childhood because next to this was Led Zeppelin IV. Most people that have listened to this record, because I've mentioned a song or two in one of those things we've done, are like, oh, Jesus, how in the hell can you listen to this? I think this is just magic because it's also part of how you time and when you were raised. And
exactly. I wanted to point that out. You brought up a very important point for everybody out here. Music gets connected to a moment in time for you. And if the first time you heard that song was in a special place, a special moment, a special time, it's going to, every time you hear it, you're going to be brought back to that place, time, and moment. Doesn't it could be the most suckiest song in the world, the wimpiest artist in the world. I mean, you know, to your point, there's a lot of like 70s AM gold music that people will go, wow, that's just wimp rock.
No,
but
love
why
it.
do I like it? Because it takes me back to the roller skating rink when I was a kid and the great fun times. Roller skating.
Yeah.
Brandy, you're a fine girl.
And ELO,
Jesus,
don't bring me down.
I'm instantly brought back to the roller rink. I don't know if it was in Eden Prairie or wherever it was. And it's just like, man, I hear the song and I can picture the carpet and I can picture the lights. That's why music impacts people differently. Nobody sits back and listens to music just in the sphere of the song itself. It's where you are when you first, I mean, you know, Creatures of the Night. Now, granted, it is a great album, but it's also connected to an incredible experience for me of walking in, discovering this Kiss album I never knew about, taking it home, turning off the lights in my bedroom, putting it on the turntable, putting on the big headphones, and listening to it and going, whoa, Rock and Roll Over. Again, on its own, it is a great album. But it was the very first Kiss album I ever got. It's the very first vinyl I ever dropped a needle on. And every single time I hear I Want You, the first track on side A, I'm instantly flashback to our old house in Bloomington, Minnesota, big stereo console. And hearing that, it's a great moment.
Right.
And
Right.
and each of us have those different moments, and you can't explain away somebody's moment because you think the vocals are bad or somebody can't play guitar.
Well, and sometimes I kind of wonder some of it's just literally because you or people aren't aware of the influence. Like, here's another one. Okay. This is the first album by a band called Lone Justice. Absolutely loved this record. I thought I was the only person in the world that listened to it until I read Nikki Sixx's biography or autobiography. And he talks about the summer that this record came out and how he was obsessed with it. Now, this sounds nothing like Kiss. This sounds different than almost any other band I have. If anything, it's kind of somewhat like, I don't even know how to describe it. But my point is this: I can love this, but I can also love Rock and Roll Over or Creatures of the Night or Crazy Nights. And if you don't like it, it's okay. But to me, music is variety. And who wants to just listen to Iron Maiden all day? I don't.
Well, who wants to listen to Kiss all day long? I sure as hell do not. Listen, as big of a Kiss fan as I am, and as long as we've been doing this podcast, I can tell you with pretty good certainty, Kiss is one of my least listened to artists.
But what's interesting about Kiss to me is that they do honestly have quite a variety of music. When you look at the early albums, then you look at the mid-tier records, and then you look into the 80s, which sounded different than the 70s, and then all of the different things in between, and then some of the solo stuff and Paul's Soul Station. There's quite a variety there of types of styles of music, and I couldn't listen to it all the time. But I would think it would be even worse if I had to listen to Judas Priest or Iron Maiden. Nothing against those bands, but they sound identical. Sounds just like the next.
Do you also think this is potentially an age-related thing? Because on our show here, we're all in our 50s. I'm actually 59, closer to 60. And it was probably 40, 45 when I sort of had this light bulb moment of like, wow, I don't care what other people think. I do not.
Well, it just doesn't. I would agree.
It just didn't matter to me all of a sudden. You could hate me. You can hate my show. You can hate what I write. You can hate what I say. I don't care. Now, earlier, especially when you're in your teens and 20s and 30s, boy, you really care about what other people think and say about you. You know, I don't know how old, well, this guy was a teenager in 1980. So he's approaching our age.
Yeah.
You know, is that an issue where this is more of younger people, teens, 20s, 30s, even moving close to 40, haven't had that realization of like, dude, I don't care. I mean, I say this so many times to other people. Why do you care what I like or don't like when it comes to music? Because I have no concern. I'm not wasting a second thinking about what you like and what you're listening to. It's a waste of my time. It has no bearing on my life. You could go listen to garbage all you want, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and again, it was a point in my life where all of a sudden it was like, wow, yeah. I just realized I was much happier with that sort of attitude when I was younger. I at least for me, that was impossible to have. You were always, I mean, I even remember in the late 70s and early 80s, we've touched on this. It's like, you know, I could only defend and like Kiss, even though quietly I loved like Human League and I love some of that 80s keyboard, stuff like that. But I sure as hell back then when I was a kid and it was happening, I couldn't admit that.
But
how could a metalhead admit to liking keyboards and pop?
Well, exactly.
That was the evil.
But things have changed, though, because back then when you didn't have as many things that were after your entertainment dollar, when music was really important to so many people, how you felt about it and what you liked was almost like a badge of honor of what you enjoyed. Now it's just been so diluted, it's changed. Because like when I look at just the three of us, Mark, I couldn't listen to the music he listens to. But he loves
no,
it.
No, I couldn't.
He's
yeah.
all in, but he's not wrong. I just don't. Some of the stuff he mentions, it just does absolutely nothing for me. But I also wonder if some of it too, and maybe it's different for the younger people, but for me, man, buying these records has been amazing. This journey is incredible. And in fact, Kyle and I are going to spend Saturday going to record stores because it's record store day. So by now, when you guys are hearing this, it'll be over. But I can't wait. I've never gone to record store day ever. Didn't own a record player. Now I do. Now I'm like, hey, let's go. It's changed things for me. And I just think that the younger people maybe aren't to that point where they have discovered that it doesn't matter what someone thinks.
Well, I that's exactly what I'm saying. I think that fighting and defending is still there.
Yeah.
If you're a young metalhead, you're standing up and fighting only for that metal that you love, and anything that is outside of that sucks and is terrible. But as you get older, you quietly realize, I mean, listen, I'll go back to even, you know, the early 80s. I couldn't stand Judas Priest or Iron Maiden, especially Iron Maiden. It was way, way too fast, way too screamy, way too high pitched.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wow, I got complete admiration for both of them.
Oh, absolutely.
There's some incredible music that they made that I love now. But back then it was just like, no, can't, that's thrash metal, that's speed metal, it's not Kiss. And I think when you reach a certain age, you all of a sudden realize, why can't I like Culture Club and AC/DC?
You can listen
you
to
can I
Flip.
did back then.
Yeah.
Why can't I do it and be open and admit it? Because guess what? Somebody telling me that Culture Club sucks doesn't change the fact that those are fun songs to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
They're hooks. They're pop. They make you feel good.
Well, the only reason I use Judas Priest and I know I'm probably wrong about Judas Priest and probably Iron Maiden, but from my ears, listening so much of it sounds so much the same. And I mean that in a bad way, but just that because they are so locked into what they do and do everything so well, they don't veer from that. And so then if I'm going to have to listen to an artist all the time, it's got to be someone who's locked into my comfort zone. My comfort zone is Cheap Trick. So I could listen to them all day because that's another full body of work where, yeah, there's a few things that are a little different, like The Doctor. But overall, they've been extremely consistent, just like so many other bands. So it's just, I like the variety, and it doesn't matter whether you like something or not. I'm just looking for someone who has similar tastes to tell me, hey, man, I saw this movie, you got to check it out, or this new CD is unbelievable. Because like I bought the new Mick Mars CD, and everyone's like, oh, I love it. I'm like, eh.
Yeah,
same
way. I didn't buy it. I listened to it on Spotify, and I'm just like, yeah,
it's okay, but I can't stop listening.
It's okay. I'm not going to listen to it over and over and over again.
But I can't stop listening to the new Rolling Stones.
Now even there, I've said many times, I'm not a huge Rolling Stone fan, but man, this new Rolling Stones album, I've listened to a number of times.
And I've got...
And I think, again, part of this gets back to age. You, as you talked about going out to record store day and buying all this vinyl over the last few weeks that you've been sharing with us, you're realizing the joy and happiness of remembering the vinyl album experience, but then listening to some of these songs that you may not have listened to in decades brings you back to a happy place. And
yeah,
as we know on this show, there's some people out there who are like, why the fuck do you want to be 12 years old again? what the hell is wrong? Why? Because those were good. I was happy. It was good times. And like food, there's comfort food that we will always go to when you just want something that you know is going to please yourself and make you feel good. But then there are times you're like, let's go out and try something different.
Right.
I'm willing to try, experiment a little different. And I think with age, we're discovering you do the same thing with music. It's like, okay, I can always go back to Cheap Trick. I know Cheap Trick is always going to be there, is always going to feel good, is always going to take me back to a certain place. But at the same time, like, geez, what now? It's a band. Well, here, you know, people go might rip on country music, but damn, I love Kenny Chesney. Absolutely love him. And he just released a new album. And I listen to it and it's like, oh yeah, you know, it's different, but I like it. It makes me feel good. There's also a band out of England called Gunn, who had a minor hit during the mid 80s, but they're still around and they just released a new album, Hombres. And I've already hit repeat on it three times, playing this album over and over and over again. And it's just like, yeah, there's a place for the Cheap Trick in your listening habits, but then there's also a place for, let me try something a little new. Let me step out of your comfort zone, as I've always said.
And even things that I don't know about artists I like. I'll give you a great example. Billy Joel. Love Billy Joel. Always have. I haven't really always liked the hits. I've liked the deeper tracks, but I haven't owned all of his albums. So I've been buying different albums that he put out in the 70s. So I bought Turnstiles. I've never owned it. I knew two songs on it, but it was fascinating to hear the rest
Glass
of that.
Houses is my favorite Billy Joel.
Yeah.
But you want to know why? Again, because it brings me back to a time in when I was a kid, when it got released, and I'm living in Bloomington, and I had a friend, Kitty Corner, and we would swap albums. And he gave me Billy Joel Glass Houses, and I don't remember if I gave him a Styx album or something like that. You know, you'd do that all the time with your friends. You'd give them the album you bought, they'd record it on a cassette tape, give it back to you. And I listen to Glass Houses, and it takes me back because I'm just like, oh, wow. Good memories. Back to a good time, but it's also great music on top of it.
Absolutely. And it's and that's what's fun about the records too, because the stuff that's really expensive is either these elaborate re-releases, things like that. A lot of the stuff that I'm looking for, I can find for a very reasonable price.
At
so
a
I'm
used
happy
record store.
Yeah, so I'm happy to try something new that I haven't had before or haven't listened to before, like the Allman Brothers that I pointed out a couple of weeks ago. I'm not a big Allman Brothers fan, but boy, is Live at the Fillmore good. And I bought it for like $8 for a 2-record set. I'll take a chance on that. I would have
Oh,
never
yeah.
bought that as a kid. Never,
Yeah.
never, never. But I'm
Yeah.
enjoying it now because.
Yeah, I remember it was a few years ago when my parents were still living in Bloomington, you know, and whenever I came back, I'd always find one day that I'd drive around the cities to used record stores. And I remember one time I was at, I think it was Cheapo Records on Lake Street. And walked in there and I probably spent 2 hours and I left with, I don't know, 9 albums, probably cost me $25. I mean, they were all used, dollar, $2. And I remember specifically one of them was Jay Ferguson, which,
Thunder Island.
You know, a lot of people will go, one hit wonder, Thunder Island. And I'm like, yeah, I love that song. I've never
So there's got
owned
to be
his
at least a
album.
couple
I
more
never,
that are good on that.
I bought the album and I'm like, wow, there's actually more to this album than just Thunder Island. This is pretty good stuff.
I did that with
And
Sammy Johns, though, and Chevy Van, and that was the only good one.
yeah, but you know, the way you and I would buy, you know, if you bought it as a used, it, okay, you might have got it for $2, $3, $4. Okay, you're not hitting a home run with everything.
No. No, you
but
can't.
you're not out you're not out $25, $40 on a new one. You got a used one. And you know, and I shared this story when Mark was on with us a few weeks ago about how it was in the 80s that I discovered the Suite.
Yeah.
I'd always heard the Suite on the radio. I knew the hits,
yeah.
Never owned any of their stuff. And I remember walking into No Name Records. Hey, you know, thumbs up to No Name. They've got the Kiss Elder event coming up in November.
Yeah, Danny runs that, and
Danny runs
any
that.
Any
big
of you
Kiss
that are,
fan, big listener of Three Sides. So if you're in
is
Minneapolis,
awesome.
check out No Name Records. They've always, even when I was a kid, they were my go-to spot for music.
You can always
But
find
you
something
know,
good there, always.
I remember in the early 80s, I went in there and it's just like, God, there's like five Suite albums that were used for like $3 a piece. And I bought them and I went home and it's like, whoa, there's so much more to this. But again, getting back to the whole original point of this, music is more than just who sings the vocals and does it sound good. It's about a moment. It's about, you know, maybe the Ace album for me is very much about the surprise I had in actually liking it.
That's
I
fair.
had such low expectations going into 10,000 volts. I'm happy to admit that. I was expecting it to be just blah. And I wasn't impressed with 10,000 volts when it was the first single. And I had even heard a couple of the other tracks before they were released. I was just like, oh, okay. But when I got the whole album and listened to it, I was like, wow, I actually enjoy this. Why do I enjoy it? I don't know. He still can't sing. I'm first to admit that. Ace Frehley's not a lead vocalist. But you know what? I'm also not the kind of person who's going to sit here and dissect an album from the playing ability, the singing ability, and all this. It's just like, do I get goosebumps? Do I want to listen to it again? Does the song plant an earworm in my head? If the answer is yes, it's a good album. At the end of the day, that's all I care about. I'm not saying it's wrong if you like to go out here and dissect the playing and listen to the leads and go, oh my God, there was a mistake there, or this person's voice cracked, or, oh, I can tell there's auto. I don't care about any of that. It means absolutely nothing to me. If I smile, like it, and want to listen to it again, it's a great song. It's a great album. And maybe that's why Ace's 10,000 Volts was so good to me, because it blew away all the expectations, which they were very little to begin with, that
Well,
I had
Steve,
for this.
well, I think a big piece of it when we talked to Steve is that he brought that pop sensibility into it that was missing on several of those records, because Ace is so classic rock that, you know, if you leave him alone, he's going to give you a record that sounds like Mountain.
Yeah.
Which is fine for some people, but sure is not what I want.
Well, you know, and that could explain, that's why I love Crazy Nights so much.
Right.
Left to their own, Kiss is going to give you Animalize or Asylum, but bring in a producer who's got a pop sensibility like Ron Nevison, I was just like, oh wow, this is great. I mean, I was loving Heart during the 80s and Ozzy Osbourne during the 80s and all that stuff. It's just like, I loved all that. Do you hate it? That's fine. You're welcome to hate everything about the 80s. I love everything about the 80s. It makes me smile. It's feel good, have a good time music. That's why I detested when things went to grunge. It's like, I don't want to listen to depressing music. I don't care how good the band is. I don't
It's
care how
impressive.
great the songs are. I want to feel good about music. I got enough depressing stuff in my life. Music shouldn't add to it.
Exactly. That's, you said it perfect.
But again, that's just my thought. There are other people that will be like, yeah, you know, I want to listen to that music because it helps me understand why I'm feeling. That's great. If that works for you, that's great. I'm not going to talk you out of it. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong for that. But again, going back to this email, Why are we on crack? Because we like something you don't like. Couldn't you just say, interesting review you guys had. I have to disagree. I didn't like the singing. I didn't like. It's great. I mean, you're not insulting us. Again, I'm beyond that point where I'm going to get insulted if somebody says the music I like, the food I like, what the TV shows I like. It's not an insult to me. It's a waste of your time to spend it trying to make me understand why you want that to be the case. You could talk to your blue in the face. It's never going to change how I feel about Crazy Nights. It's never going to change how I feel about 10,000 volts. It's never going to change that. Listen, you know, I mean, we're Kiss fans, especially us on this show. We're Kiss fans who grew up Kiss fans from the 70s, mid 70s, early 70s, mid 70s, late 70s into the 80s. You want to talk about people telling us we are fucked in the head about what we like?
It's true.
We, again, we lived it. We breathed it. I can be, you know, when I listen to Dynasty, I am taken back to high school, 1979. People just going, Kiss fucking sucks, man. They can't play. They're a gimmick band. Dude, I've heard it all before. I lived through it. I survived it. And thus, the phrase that Mark came up with, forget the haters, all those people who tell us what we like is wrong, we won. Because guess what? Our band survived for 50 years. They made so much fucking music that can make us happy.
That's all it is.
You know, do you think a comment on Facebook or an email is going to bother us? It's not. I find it amusing that you would write these two or three paragraphs attacking Ace, attacking us, criticizing. Dude, I don't know how long that took you to write. 10 minutes, 20 minutes? I don't know. That's your time you wasted on something that literally is like water off the back of a duck for all of us on this show.
Yeah, but it turned into an episode.
It turned into an episode to illustrate what I think is a good point, because yeah. I think in general, as Kiss fans, and you're watching this, you've experienced this one way or another. I mean, just today I would scan through and, oh, you know, Kiss is just a gimmick band. Or here, I actually saw this post on the Rock Candy Magazine Facebook group. Somebody posted, what was a bigger gimmick, Kiss or Village People? Who the fuck cares? I mean, if you like the music, does it really care if there was any sort of a gimmick involved?
People that post that are just looking for attention, or they're looking for a discussion, which is okay. But I just think that everybody believes that their opinion matters to other people. The only person your opinion should really matter to is you.
That's exactly
it. And I think some people are lonely, and they will ask these questions on these random boards because they're looking for someone to like bash those artists along with the person who originally posted it and get, you know, basically stir the pot. Or some people are just literally looking for some validation when they post something. It's no different than if someone gets a new haircut or a new outfit and they post a photo on Facebook. They just are hoping someone will say, hey, you look great. You know, I don't think there's necessarily malice. I just think some people are really lonely.
I think that it could be all of that. There could be people who do it out of pure hate and malice. There's people who do it because they're lonely. There's people that do it because they're probably not that confident in their own musical taste. Mm-hmm. You know, they're afraid to defend what they like. So let's go attack somebody else. You know, there's all these reasons. I mean, let's go all the way back. Remember that great review of Kiss from like 1974. I hope these guys are putting money away because they're not going to be around long. I don't. They won. They were here for 50 years. They're still here. They're going to
Well,
last
yeah.
forever in some form or another.
I just think it's what we're picking the scab of a larger issue. That's what we're doing today, because there is so much more from a psychology standpoint that goes into so much of this as to why people do what they do. It's an exercise in psychology, watching this type of stuff unfold. And I challenge each and every one of you that when you're scrolling through your social media tonight, and you see something posted that you don't agree with, and I don't care if it's music or political, or it doesn't matter, whatever it is, if you don't agree with it, just keep scrolling. I challenge you to just zip your lip.
I would say that is one option, but I would also say, and especially if somebody comments on something you left, you don't need to be dragged into a back and forth fight over stuff. You don't have to defend anything.
Mm-mm.
You know, I get plenty of people who will make a comment on music I like, and I don't turn around to try and defend it. I'm just like, hey, great, I respect your opinion. I'm not changing my mind. I don't know why you spent your time trying to convince me otherwise. And that immediately takes the fight out of the other side. It becomes, you know, what they want is a two-person back and forth. I'm going to attack you in a comment, then you're going to attack me back, and keep going and keep going. And whoever gives up is the loser.
Right.
So if you just immediately don't even engage into that back and forth, you've taken everything out of their attack.
Basically. Yeah, you've taken the wind out of their sails.
Exactly. You've taken the wind out of their sails. And, you know, they could continue to post and comment and comment. And you go, hey, that's fine. I'm still going to love Crazy Nights. You could give me 25 comments about why I'm wrong and why it sucks. I'm just sitting back here drinking my Mountain Dew, reading your comments, while you keep trying to come up with ways to convince me and antagonize me and poke the hornet's nest. And it's like, yeah, you're not getting anywhere.
Mm-mm.
But again, I think that comes from age. We, you, me, Mark, we're older. We see what's going on and we realize it's a wasted effort. If we were 20 years old and somebody else who's 20 did that, I probably would have been right back in their face. Fuck you. Don't you criticize my band, Kiss.
Mm-hmm. Now you realize it's not necessary anymore.
Yeah, I don't need to defend Kiss. I don't need to defend any artist or any music. Their job is to defend themselves. You know, I like what I like. You like what you like. Listeners like what they like, and everybody's happy.
For the younger listeners too, I think it's important to point out that with age comes wisdom. And I've heard that for years, and there's so much truth to it, because your life is finite. And when you get to our age, you start thinking about how much time you have left and what you haven't done and things you want to accomplish. And you start to really realize that the only thing that matters about music is that what you listen to brings you joy.
Does it make you happy? If you're listening to music that's constantly making you angry, and again, this is just my opinion, I would have to go, why are you spending your time doing that? Don't you want to be happy? Remove that unhappiness from your life and just focus on what makes you feel good. Again, focus on what brings you back to when you were 10, 12, 15, whatever that moment where it was like you were good. And I've gotten to that point. You've gotten to that point, Tommy. Mark has gotten to that point. You know, you just listen to what you want to listen to because it makes you feel good. And if it doesn't make you feel good, I don't hit the play button on it again. And I'm on to something else. And listen, that could be within Kiss itself. Kiss makes me happy, but I'm not hitting the play button on Carnival Souls. I mean, Jesus, just reminds me, you know, somebody criticized me not liking those Kiss songs that I mentioned earlier, and they went on to say, and because I said Within on Psycho Circus didn't belong there. Within belonged on Carnival of Souls. It's a leftover Carnival of Souls song. It should have been on Carnival of Souls. And by the way, Carnival of Souls shouldn't even have the Kiss name on it. It's such a bad Kiss album.
Mm-hmm.
And that triggered somebody who's just kept trying to poke me. And I'm just like, I don't care. Carnival of Souls does not sound good to me. Doesn't make me feel good.
It's depressing.
It's depressing. And Kiss is not a depressing band for me. Kiss is a feel good, you know, flip off the rest of the world that is depressing you. You know, I always go, I wish I would have remembered where the interview was, but it was either Gene or Paul that was like, you know, a Kiss concert is 2 hours where you can forget the rest of your life. You can forget your teachers. You can forget your job. You can forget your car payments, all this other stuff that you got to worry about. Kiss concert, that stuff is left at the door when you come in. This is a good time. That's what Kiss has always been for me, a good
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the
but
way.
But I don't have to like everything Kiss does.
No, of course not. You know, and all that matters is that each and every one of you listening and can hear our voices knows that you have permission to love what you love and enjoy the things
exactly.
you enjoy. And you're not
you
wrong.
Don't have to change what you listen to or like for anybody out there. And that means for your parents, for teachers, for bosses, for girlfriends, spouses, for us.
Yeah.
You don't have to change anything. Just embrace it, love it, and ignore the people or laugh at the people who want to waste their life trying to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah, because today alone, I listened to the Rolling Stones' Some Girls, Kiss Revenge, Billie Holiday's Greatest Hits, Patsy Cline's Greatest Hits, and Van Halen. This
good
was what I listened
variety.
to.
It's a good variety.
Yeah. So, well, there you go, people.
There you go. I mean, that we'll get off our soapbox now, but you know, from a homework standpoint, where are you when it comes to your musical taste? Are you to that point where you could care less what other people think? Are you still trying to defend your tastes to other people? You know,
Actually,
what do
you know
you
who I'd like to hear from, Michael, is the people that want to fight. We probably won't, but I'd really love to hear from someone that if Michael said, okay, I don't like the songs he doesn't like, I want to hear from the people that are bothered by that and why they're bothered by it, because
Well,
I just simply don't care.
Here's a great homework, kind of very specific to the listener who sent us this email. Again, I'm not naming you. I'm not going to call you out.
Mm-hmm.
Send us another email and try and explain to us, why does it matter to you that we liked, or me specifically really flipped out, oh, and liked 10,000 Volts? Explain in a mature way. Don't use "you're on crack, you can't hear, you got wax in your..." I've got wax in my ears all the time, people.
And tinnitus.
Yeah, and tinnitus in one in my left ear. Explain, why was it important to you to write that message to us about what we think of the album?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate you for that. I don't hate you for that. I'm not calling you an idiot for that. I did say you kind of lost all your credibility in the way you said it. But that's your homework. I mean, what does this mean to you as a listener out there, what we just went through? Have you experienced this? I'm sure every single one has experienced somebody telling you your music taste sucks? How do you deal with it? How do you deal with somebody else of your one of your friends who's got musical taste that you don't agree with?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, on this show, you can see we're good enough friends that we can poke each other. I mean, you know, every time I bring up Crazy Nights, Mark's like, "Well, look at the time." I get it. That's what buddies do to each other. But you got to be friends for years to get to that point.
Right, because like I know for a fact, next time I have to pick Michael up when he's in town, I'm going to put on "I Still Love You" and it's just going to be on repeat.
On repeat, I'm just gonna be like, oh. What a horrendous song "I Still Love You" is. And I don't care. I totally know why it was written and what it's about, and it's all heartfelt. That is, I swear to God, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me if I have to listen to "I Still Love You." Oh, it just makes me go, oh.
It's
Do you, and here, do you have, here's a homework question. Do you have one or two Kiss songs that are that way that many other people are going to say is an incredible song?
Love theme from Kiss would be one for me.
I mean,
I
there's
can't see that.
the Peter Criss solo album, the
Love
Carnival
that
of
record.
Souls entire album. But, you know, in general, especially taking the theme of what I contributed to, is there a great album in Kiss's catalog that for the most part, most fans are going to go is a great album? Creatures of the Night, most fans are going to say is a really great album that has a horrendous song on it. "I Still Love You." You know? Lick It Up. For the most part, most people love Lick It Up as an album. Million to One, can't stand it. Can't stand it. Do you have one of those in the Kiss catalog?
I'm sure you do. We'd love to know which ones they are.
Yeah, so that's your homework.
Well, and also too, we would love to hear from everybody on how much you've enjoyed these episodes without Mark.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, unfortunately, there's probably a good chance Mark will be back next week. So yeah, let us know how much you've enjoyed this.
Yeah, because we can
If
maybe just start
it's a
turning
real
his
thumbs up
microphone.
to you that he's not here, maybe we can figure out a way to keep him busy.
Send him a bucket of crab on a day we're going to tape.
Maybe we work something out with Liz where Liz keeps him busy on recording days.
There you go. Food for thought, literally.
Liz, drop KFC, you know,
Oh.
chicken on the steps going up, and he'll just be like, follow the trail
Well, and
away from
on
the
t well,
basement.
the thing is on Tuesdays, I believe they have like a 12-piece bucket for $10. So if we were taping on Tuesdays, that would be the perfect thing because she could just put a piece of chicken on each step and just lead them right into the kitchen.
Yep. We're so bad.
Know.
All
Bad.
right, there you go, everybody. You know, I hope this wasn't perceived as us hating our listeners and hating our fans. It was just more of an observation of how people review and deal with reviews.
Well, and I enjoy these types of shows because it's again, it's something a little different than, hey, did you see the overpriced box set that's coming out? Okay,
I
whatever.
mean, I gotta believe what we just talked about is something every listener has dealt with or encountered. You've been on one side or the other of what we explained. You were the person attacking somebody, or you were getting attacked for it. So hopefully it connects, and hopefully, as a homework here, you can explain the side you're on.
Yeah.
And maybe have a little bit more understanding next time you're going to say, you guys are on crack because you like that. Go, oh, you know what? Who cares? Doesn't matter. and not say it. So there you go. We got an hour plus out of one email.
That's
and again,
perfect.
I'm not mad at, I'm sure the listener knows exactly who we are talking about. I'm not mad at you. It was just a moment where I got this. And I'm just like, really? Really? Somebody took the time to write an email to tell us we're wrong in what we like. Why would you do that? All right. Three sides of the coin. You got your homework. We're out of here. We will see everybody next week. Actually, you know what, Tommy? I think we got a guest next week.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I think we got somebody who is involved in like a funeral home and caskets.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's next week. I was thinking that was this week.
It's next week.
Okay.
Nope. So that's next week. All right, that's it, everybody. We'll see you next week.
You have something to say? Leave a voicemail or send us a text message. Call 320-515-4771. Sides of the Coin, provided by LarryDavisVoice.com and by JessicaMarsVoice.com. That's Mars with a Z.